Kayo'y nakikinig sa SBS Filipino.
In some way, a positive thing in that we've done a pretty good job really at helping heart disease, curing cancer, or at least having early detection. And so it is a consequence of living a lot longer. And Australia is, I think, the second or third longest living country on Earth. So well, in a lot of ways.
Ito ang good news at maituturing na tagumpay para sa lahat dahil nabubuhay na ng mas mahaba ang tao ngayon kaysa dati. Ibinahagi ito ni Professor Tracy Commons. Siya ay isang professorial research fellow mula sa University of Queensland. Kamakailan lang, inihayag ng Australian Institute of Health and Welfare na ang demensya ang nangungunang sanhi ng pagkamatay para sa mga kababaihan sa Australia. At pangalawa naman, para sa mga kalalakihan kasunod ng sakit sa puso. Isa sa bawat 10 Australian ang namatay dahil sa iba't ibang uri ng demensya sa taong 2023. Kabilang sa mga karaniwang anyo nito, ang Alzheimer's disease, vascular dementia, frontotemporal dementia, at Lewy body dementia. Isa rin si Dr. Commons sa mga may akda ng guidelines na binuo upang mapabuti ang buhay ng mga taong may demensya, sa loob man o labas ng aged care facility. Isa sa mga isyung napansin ay ang hindi sapat na pain management ng mga taong may demensya dahil nahihirapan silang maipahayag o maituro ng tama kung saan sila nakakaramdam ng sakit. Ayon kay Professor Commons, kulang ang datos tungkol sa 4 na mahalagang aspeto ng pangangalaga para sa mga taong may demensya. Kabilang dito ang pain management, dignidad, hygiene at makabuluhang mga aktibidad o meaningful activities para sa kanila.
Yeah, so this is really about how we should measure outcomes of care for people living with dementia. So what we set out to do in this project was look at all the different domains that are possible. And we engage very closely with stakeholders, so with people experiencing dementia and their carers and industry partners from the very beginning of this project. And really co-designed that process to look at what was important to them. So these were the outcomes that we found that we could actually measure straight away. So that's our recommendation that these things are the things that we should be looking at and measuring because these are key outcomes that are important to people with dementia.
Ang guidelines na ito ay nabuo sa pakikipagtulungan ng iba't ibang universidad, aged care providers, carers, at mga taong may demensya. Layunin nito na makatulong sa policy development at para mapag-aralan ng mga aged care provider ang kanilang kasalukuyang practices na ginagawa, lalo na't patuloy na lumulobo ang aging population ng bansa at tinatayang aabot sa mahigit 1 milyong Australians ang may demensya pagsapit ng taong 2065. Isa sa malaking hamon ngayon at patuloy na magiging problema sa hinaharap ay ang kakulangan ng mga tauhan o staff sa aged care centers at sa komunidad. Maraming taong may demensya ang nakararanas ng kawalan ng tuloy-tuloy na pangangalaga dahil sa madalas na palitan ng mga staff at kakulangan sa espesyal na pagsasanay para sa demensya sa aged care sector. Bagamat tumaas na ang sahod ng mga carers, maaaring aabutin pa ng ilang taon bago ang mas maayos na pagsasanay at mas magandang kalidad ng pangangalaga sa mga aged care centers o facilities.
Yeah, it's been a key problem for a long time, and we know that the care economy, workers have been underpaid for a long time, and obviously the change in working conditions has been highly welcomed. I think it's going to take some time for that to flow through and for us to see, the impact on retention because some of those pay rises are quite recent.
Bagamat lumabas na demensya ang nangungunang sanhi ng pagkamatay sa bansa, hindi ito ang natural o dapat na kahahantungan ng mga tumatanda. ipinapaintindi ni Dr. Janet Van Eersel, isang Senior Research Fellow sa Macquarie Medical School Dementia Research Center, na malaki rin ang papel ng genetics at pamumuhay sa pagdevelop nito, kaya mahirap itong ma-diagnose, lalo na sa mga unang yugto ng kanilang buhay.
So, by the time you show symptoms, you've already lost a lot of the, you know, cells in your brain, the really important brain cells. So by the time you show symptoms, you're already at a critical stage and it's very hard to treat that. So hopefully with better imaging and now with the arrival of some new blood tests, hopefully we'll be able to diagnose people at risk a lot earlier. And so instead of trying to treat people when they're 60 or 70, potentially treating them when they're maybe 40 or 50, when it's already showing maybe in their bloods that, you know, certain levels of certain risk factors are going up. So I think that will go a long way as well to treating earlier will always be, I guess, better than trying to fix something that's already happened.
Lumabas din sa ilang pag-aaral na ang pagbabago ng lifestyle tulad ng regular na pag-ehersisyo, healthy diet at social interaction ay maaring makatulong upang mapabagal o maiwasan ang mga sintomas ng demensya. Sa katunayan, taong 2024, inilathala ng Lancet Journal ang 14 na mga risk factor na maaari o pwedeng baguhin. Kabilang dito ang traumatic brain injury, depression, obesity, lack of exercise, sobrang pag-inom ng alak, hearing loss, at social isolation na posibleng makabawas ng kaso ng demensya hanggang sa 3. Dagdag pa ni Dr. Eersel, may mga bagong development sa diagnostic blood test at ilan sa mga ito ay kamakailan lang naaprubahan ng FDA sa US.
But I guess we're still trying to understand how useful they are. And so they're regularly used, I guess, in clinical trials where we can't, you know, put or don't want to put everyone through an imager every time. And this is something that we can do with patients, you know, from much earlier on, when they have something like mild cognitive impairment, you could start already measuring their baseline levels and seeing that, I guess, how they progressively increase. But look, this is something that's very, very new, so just in the last year or two, so it's certainly something that we have to wait and see how we go and where this leads us.
Ayon sa Federation of Ethnic Communities Council of Australia, o FICA, isa sa bawat 3 Australian na higit 65 taong gulang ay nagmumula sa isang multicultural background. Iniulat naman ng University of New South Wales Center for Population Aging Research na mas mataas ang panganib na magkaroon ng demensya sa pagtanda ang mga taong nagsasalita ng ibang wika bukod sa Ingles sa kanilang tahanan o yung mababa ang English proficiency. Kaya nais ng FICA na magkaroon ng mas inclusive aged care plans na mas tunay na tumutugon sa mga pangangailangang kultural, espiritual at dietary need ng grupong ito. Sa katunayan, ibinahagi ng spokesperson ng FICA sa SBS ang maraming hamon na kinakaharap sa usapin ng dementia.
Language barriers can lead to misdiagnosis or delays, especially if interpreters aren't used. Stigma is another big issue. In some cultures, dementia is seen as shameful or even a mental illness, which can stop families from seeking help. Many people also struggle to navigate a complex health and aged care system without culturally tailored information. And as dementia progresses, people often lose second languages and revert to their first language, which can make mainstream care settings isolating. These challenges can lead to late diagnosis, higher stress for carers, poorer outcomes unless services actively address cultural and linguistic needs, all of which could mean greater cost to the older person and the healthcare system.
Para sa mga tagapakinig na nangangailangan ng tulong, maaring makipag-ugnayan ng libre at kumpidensyal sa National Dementia Helpline sa numerong 1-800-100-500. Ang ulat na ito ay binuo ni Peggy Giacomelos na isinalin sa ating wika. Ako si Sheila Joy Labrador para sa SBS Filipino.
I-like, i-share, mag-comment. Sundan ang SBS Filipino sa Facebook.